welcome everyone to another episode of Streamed and Screened, an entertainment podcast about movies and TV from Lee Enterprises. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee and co-host of the program with Bruce Miller, a longtime entertainment reporter. And you may notice that my voice is sounding a little bit down because I feel neglected. Do you feel neglected, Bruce?
I'm always neglected. Please, I'm the total attention deficit disorder kid. I needed attention all the time. I needed people to always pay attention to me. And you can just see the, you know me. You've met someone like me, and you just want to kill me. That's the term.
Yeah,
neglected. Neglected is a key term here. But I want to, can I just preview a little something?
Sure. You
know, I always wonder about these independent films that we see out there, because they are glutting the market. And if they haven't already sold off to Netflix or to Amazon Prime or
right,
because that's what they do, is they make the film and then they try to get a deal with these companies. Well, it's very difficult these days to get a movie made, but you have to figure out, how can I make it on the cheap? How can I save and still get it out there? And I was able to talk to a director who started out actually as an actor. He was on Full House.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he said the parts weren't coming, and I had to try and figure out, how am I going to get jobs? And so he wrote himself scripts, and then he realized, in order to get it all done and to make sure that it would turn out the way he wanted in a short amount of time, he had to direct too. So he wrote them, he directed them, and then he stars in them as well. And this Neglected, which is what we're going to talk about, is an example of all of that. He got a big name star, Josh Duhamel, who has been in a number of things and had a TV series. And, you know, he's out there. He's directing as well. But this is an actor for hire. So you get a big name that kind of gives you attention. And then you start building around that. And there is kind of this friendship circle that you see in all of their worlds. Jason and Jeremy London, you may remember them. They were on TV shows. They're twins. And they wouldn't necessarily be together. Well, he threw them together because he's friends with them. And he found a stunt person who has been in huge, huge films. And she was having a problem making the break from being a stunt person into being an actress. And so she was another one that he picked up for this. And it just became a series of things like that. He got as his co-star, Dylan Sprouse. If you remember Zach and Cody. Cole and Dylan Sprouse. And, you know, obviously if you're twins, you're looking to break loose and not be seen as the, you have to have your brother here with you if you're going to do anything. His brother went on to Riverdale, and he got quite a bit of attention with that. But he was said he's always playing kind of the down and on his luck kind of loser guy who joked around. But when you pull all this together, you get a film that actually I think is quite good, because it's very tense, it's very involved, and it keeps you kind of at the edge of your seat for 90 minutes. It's a good little thriller. It's about a detective on his last day of work. Isn't it always your last day of work?
Always your last day.
Yeah. Can't you just see Bruce Willis would have done this 20 years ago? He goes in to get the gold pen. They're giving him a gold pen for retiring. And then there comes this call. And the call is that his son has been taken or held hostage, or whatever you want to, what the terminology you use, by the serial killer. The serial killer has put him in a, buried him, and the boy has 9 hours. He has 9 hours to try and get out. Well, the dad has to find him first, but in order to find him, he's got to solve these other kinds of crimes that this guy has prepared. So it's a real cat and mouse game. It keeps going, and I thought it was quite fascinating. But here, if you will, this is David Lipper and Elena Sanchez. She's the stunt person. He's the director, writer, star, producer of Neglected. Sure, it's Bruce Miller. It's the Lee Enterprises newspapers. And David, what is the deal? You took every job but like one in this film. directing, writing, producing, and acting. How does that work out?
Yeah, that's just how my life has gone. You know, I started as an actor, so that's all I did for decades. And then I got into writing and wrote a bunch of scripts that got made. And this is one that actually came to me from a young writer called Adam Levine. And he handed it to me. I rewrote a large chunk of it, and we ended up with a movie. As far as directing goes, I've now directed 5 movies. I've probably produced over 40. And I don't know how this happened. It just did. I guess it happened because, and Elena can probably super relate, as an actor, you're so at the will and at the mercy of being hired. I mean, probably a lot as a stunt person too. And it's just like, you get sick of waiting for the phone to ring and saying, I'm going to take things into my own hands. So I took it into my own hands, and now I have a lot of jobs.
So how did you hire yourself to be an actor in this? And the bad guy too at that?
Well, I picked a role that I knew I could really deliver on. That's one of the advantages of writing a script, is you can write a character that you know is in your wheelhouse, and also something that I can jump from the director's chair to the actor's chair and not be so intrusive on the process, and be supporting enough that that I have enough time to really focus on directing where I need to.
Well, Elena, how do you get directors to look at you as not a stunt person? How do you?
It's hard. It's been a long journey to get here. Because absolutely, the first few years, that's definitely all I got. Well, you're a stunt person, or they'll only throw roles at you where you're doing stunts or shooting a gun. So I went from doing these huge 100 million blockbusters, doing stunts on those, to going back to the indie world and scraping roles together in the indie world and getting bigger, larger roles. And then that's actually how I ended up on this one, because I had just done a movie with Jeremy London where we played the two leads. He was a sheriff and I was a deputy. And then Jeremy knew David, and Jeremy texted me and said, oh my gosh, there's a role in this you'd be perfect for. Let me send your stuff to the director.
And you were. Right?
And it worked out.
Okay, so you have both of the Londons in this, right? How does that come about? Does one say, well, the brother could be in this as well, or?
No, that was me. I know Jeremy and Jason forever. They've been in a few of my movies already. And the original script had them as partners, simply detective partners. But I thought, wow, if I make it twin brothers, imagine how much more, how the stakes rise at that point. It's one thing if you're fighting for your partner. It's another if you're fighting for your brother. And it's even more so if you're fighting for your twin brother, because I know these guys a long time and the bond between them is huge. So when I had the opportunity to cast them and they were both in the area, I jumped on it. And that was just an immediate phone call from me to both of them.
When you have Cole and Dylan, both, you know, potential, do you talk to the other one? I would think they'd be played off each other all the time. Like,
We had Dylan Sprouse in our movie. I would have, you know, I'd love to do something with Cole and Dylan together. Right now, this one, we just had Dylan as the serial killer. But that is something Dylan and I have talked about, maybe one day in the future, to put Dylan and Cole together. Obviously, they're both very famous for their own reasons. That would be something to have those two together.
Experience must tell you that you should reach out beyond what people look for just naturally. And they say, oh, well, of course they've got to be together. Or of course she's got to do stunts. Or of course, you know, I only want one of those ones. How do you convince studios or people who are providing the financing that, yeah, I really want to try something different here?
That's the beauty of independent film, is I got to be the boss and say, I don't really care what somebody thinks. This is what I think. I think that I'd like to have this stunt woman be my leading actress, you know, and she did a great job in the audition, did a great job in the movie. She brings a physicality to the performance that you're not going to get from a lot of actresses. And by the way, I have, you know, every time I have an actor with a small part that has a stunt, I use my stunt people as the actors. So this is something I've been doing for years. This is just a very big role that doesn't actually have stunts. That is where it's kind of flipped on its head. And then taking Dylan Sprouse, who's a Disney kid, and turning him into a serial killer was another against type thing to do. And I love that. So to me, again, this is the advantage we have in independent film. We don't answer to anybody. Our investors pretty much, you know, have faith and trust in our process. And that's how we make it.
Well, keep doing it. That's a good thing to do. And also give all those retirees pens, because I'm sure that's what they want.
Good callback to that party scene. Yeah.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce, for that interview. Fascinating look inside the film. But we, as you said prior, you do have a couple more interviews with the stars. And as we were talking about with these there's always two types of independent films to me. There's the one which is like, it's like that borderline B movie, right? Where you watch it and it's, I've never seen any of these actors before. I have no idea who you are. I have no idea what kind of budget this thing was. It just kind of shows up. Maybe it sucks me in, or maybe it doesn't. But then you have that other kind of independent film where even if it's not a big budget film, there's enough into it with, you know, star power. And it doesn't necessarily have to be A-listers like Tom Hanks or Harrison Ford, but these are people that we have seen plenty of times before. I mean, you know, you look at Dylan Sprouse. I mean, you know, he got his start out there with things like
he was with one of the babies.
I mean, he Grace Under Fire, he was on you know, Friends. Obviously Zach and Cody. There's a lot. I mean, you look at, he's got a very long list of acting credits, as does Josh Duhamel, and I believe he has an Emmy Award too, right? He won a daytime Emmy with all My Children.
Right. It was for a soap opera.
Yeah. So, I mean, these are actors that they've been around, and, you know, again, they may not be the A-list huge star power, but you know them.
I worry about these actors. I think after I don't see them for a while, I think,
right,
are they working? How are they making money? What are they doing? Are they, 'cause they're still viable.
Right.
You know, the business eats them up like crazy.
It does.
Everybody wants to discover the new person.
Mm-hmm. Right. But you get for a film, like, especially when you get these independent films like this, I feel like you have instant credibility when you are bringing forth actors that are recognizable in some form, whether they are just the role players that you see time and time and time again, or somebody who's, you know, it like, yeah, I am a Matt Damon, but I'm willing to kind of, you know, toss myself into this one just because I'm friends with the director or something. Like, it runs both ways.
Have you ever been in a town, and I'm talking town, where they're making an independent film and everybody in the town is buzzing about them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And these are the kind of people that would say, I can do something in the film, and they would probably hire them. In fact, right. I think a lot of people who are trying to break into the business should go to some of these small towns where they're making a film and say, I could do something. You need my help. And they might hire them. And then, mm-hmm, if they have another film coming up later, they might remember that person, bring them on and say, you know, that kid was pretty good. He had a work ethic that would work.
Yeah. And
so it's a cautionary tale for those who want it. It's not going to Hollywood. There's nothing going on there. So don't even try to get a job in Hollywood. And New York, good luck there. You know, if you're going to Broadway, I hope you have the credentials to do it, because you need to be a triple threat to get any kind of job there. But if you went to, I think this was shot in the South somewhere, they could need people to do things, and they could need somebody to be in a little bit part. They'll give you a line maybe. And that, you know, like the director said, he just found what he could do and how much he dared do. And he could fill a part and doesn't have to pay anybody else. And there you go. It's good. But mm-hmm, you could be that person they pick up. Well, these stars or these celebrities that are recognizable help sell it on the back end. That's where you could say, we've got people that, you know, have Q scores, and people recognize them and they know who they are. And so I talked to Dylan and to Josh, and I did not remember that Dylan had done a villain before, you know, because he's always a nice guy. And Here he's a serial killer. Well, you can see where he would want to stretch. That's a good way of trying to do something like that. And here he is. And he said he had done a villain, I think, quite a few years ago, where he was kind of the bad kid in school. But this is his first time for something this. And it is interesting to see him because you don't immediately say, oh, my God, that's that Sprouse kid. You don't even recognize him. Mm-hmm. And then as it plays out, it gives him that kind of next level to go to if he wants to keep working on the acting. Now, he doesn't really need to because I think he made a lot of money as a kid star. And then he went to college. Both the boys went to college. That was their goal, is they were going to make enough money to be able to be to pay for their college education. And they went into really different kinds of careers. One is a video game developer. And, okay. You know, so it's not like, oh, and I studied acting and that's what I'm doing. It was something to kind of give them another twist. And then they started getting offers for older parts. So here's an example of that. Here's a chance to show where you are. Josh Duhamel, he has so many irons in the fire. You see him on a lot of television series where he's this, that, or the other thing. He produced and directed a movie called Buddy Games and then turned it into a reality series. And so this is a chance for him to collect that acting cred without having to do the hard labor. So here's, if you will, here's Dylan and Josh. Sure, it's Bruce Miller. It's the Lee Enterprises newspapers. Dylan, have you been a villain before?
All my life, Bruce, all my life.
I don't remember you being a bad guy in a film or in a TV show. Is that right?
I think I only played one other bad guy in this movie called Dismissed, like when I was fresh out of college. And he was arguably a bad guy. Yeah, I'd say. But no, it's very rare for me. Normally they cast me as a charming, swarthy jokester who is, you know, infatuated by some beautiful lady. And I think that's a real stretch for me.
It is.
So yeah, it's hard.
Do you like being the villain or not?
I do. I mean, I like any role that feels like any character that feels complete and it feels like it could be a challenge. And I feel like I can empathize with, because that's another thing. I don't like a villain that's just a villain for villain's sake, like just wants to destroy the world or take over the world. Like those aren't fun. You know, you want to see a villain actually have some depth. And I think in this case, AJ was certainly one of those. So I jumped in and I was happy to do so.
Okay, Josh, how do you play the time clock element of this, where it's like it's counting down and what's going to happen? How do you do that, especially when you're doing different things, different days?
Yeah, it was, I mean, for me, if I'm a little bit scared of it, it's exciting. I think that this one was a little bit scary because it was, we're going to go 100 miles an hour for 2 weeks straight. You know, and I gotta maintain this level of desperation throughout. And how do I, you know, find levels within that, you know, that heightened state? And it's a lot to ramp up. It's a lot to like get there every single scene of every single day. But luckily we moved at a really fast pace. I think David Lippert did a really good job of helping me, you know, find these different colors within that heightened space. And you know, just imagining, you know, one of the things about being an actor is you're sort of forced to confront some pretty dark stuff sometimes, things that you'd never otherwise think about. Like, I don't want to think about my kid ever getting kidnapped, but I had to for this, you know, and what would I do in that situation? And so that was weirdly cathartic, Bruce, in a way, because you have no choice. You got to go there if you want to do a good job. You got to really imagine what that would feel like. And weirdly, it's therapeutic because it makes you appreciate what you have. And thank God, this is just make-believe and I don't have to actually do this. But, you know, it gives you some perspective on what that might feel like for sure.
And you go home and hug the kids, right? Isn't that the way it goes?
Yeah.
For both of you, what is it like having your director also be your co-star and your producer and the writer? Is that a lot?
I mean, I couldn't do it personally. I don't think I could do it. I look at that and I'm like, I struggle enough not breaking during the scene. I couldn't imagine having to think about a shot list. I mean, no, I mean, David's a professional. He's been doing it forever. He's like, you know, that's just testament to some people's minds are just wired like that. I think he's got one of them where he can just jump in and out and be able to accomplish his goals and that he sets. And, you know, he's got big goals and he sets them always. And so for me, it was a real pleasure.
And Josh, you've done it before. You've been all those people on a production. Is it just chaotic?
Chaotic is a word, but I'd say it's just it's all consuming. It just keeps, you know, when you're directing something, you have to answer all the questions from all the different departments. You got to be decisive. You got to have a plan. But then you got to jump in and get in front of the camera. And that to me is the hardest part. It's like trying to direct a scene that you're in, because you're definitely using both sides of your brain, which is probably a good thing because I rarely use one side of my brain. So it was a really good exercise. I love it personally. I really did love it because you get to shape the story the way you see it. You get to really, and it all falls on you. You know, if the movie sucks, it's on you. So I like that pressure. I love being able to shape the story and edit it the way I see it and try to find, you know, my movies are much different than this. Mine are comedies, but that's the fun. I'm not saying I would want to do it all the time. It's so much work that every few years I'll do it because it does definitely take up a good 2-3 years of your life.
Do you think about retirement when you do something like this where the character, I go, wait a minute, he can't retire. He's too young to retire.
Wait, you mean the character in the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that the reason for that is it was a little bit different than some movies we've seen before where, you know, okay, the detective is on his last job and everything goes haywire. It is some of that, but this guy was leaving early because he knew that he'd fallen short as a father. He hadn't been as present as he should have been, and he's got a lot of guilt for that. And I have some of that myself, too, if I'm being perfectly honest, because, you know, this job takes me away a lot. So I'm constantly carrying this guilt that I need to be home more. Art does imitate life in some ways in this one, because I often think about, I just want to hang it up and just be with the family. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And I think that ultimately the kids will see me out there working, and that's what you have to do. That's the reality of this world.
Dylan, you can't think about this, but hey, you got a pen. Isn't that the good part of retiring? You get a pen.
Is it a quill pen at least?
No, it is. It looks like one that you buy on sale, to be honest with you. But there you go.
Kind of a bummer.
It is. Dylan, think about retirement because it could happen. You never know. Hey, you guys, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And great good luck with this.
Thank you, Bruce. Thanks.
Thanks again for those interviews, Bruce. Always fun to hear from the stars. Should be interesting. So this movie, I think it came out last year. It started screening, right? But now it's getting a little bit more of a wider release.
Its release date is this month. They do things for, you know, film festivals and limited releases just to kind of test the market. But this is its official start.
So you had mentioned earlier, sometimes, you know, you'll be in that small town and a film comes and there's all this buzzing. I actually had this happen in near a town where I was living. So I grew up, I'm originally from New York City, but grew up in Sayreville, New Jersey, which is kind of just across from Staten Island, New York, one of the five boroughs, kind of a, you know, mid-sized town. Well, it's actually a borough of Sayreville. You know, people have probably heard of some of the folks that have come out of Sayreville, like John Bon Jovi is the probably the most famous person. Dule Hill graduated a year ahead of me in high school. Danny Pintaro, do you remember him from Who's the Boss?
Yes. He's out
to
now too.
Yeah. He he did not go to my elementary school. I think we had, they closed a couple due to enrollment issues for a while. And this, now it's the town like re-exploded and they had to open new schools. But he went to a different elementary school, so I didn't get to know him. But he's about my age, and I do remember, you know, in high school, like some people talking about him. He was in elementary school and then he got pulled out and went to, you know, like tutoring and things like that because of acting. So we did have a little bit of kind of this connection to Hollywood, a little bit, sort of. But around the year 1999, 2000, the next town over from us is called South Amboy, New Jersey. It's a teeny little town, teeny little city. I believe it was in the Guinness Book of World Records at some point because it had the most bars per square mile of any city in the world. Which is kind of funny because the city of South Amboy is just one square mile. So basically, you know, if you have 10 bars in it, you have 10 bars per square mile. But they ended up deciding a production company came to town and they ended up filming parts of Coyote Ugly. Do you remember that movie?
Oh, yes.
Coyote
Ugly? Where they bar. Yeah.
Yeah. So they ended up filming chunks of it. I remember them creating, there was a vacant storefront which they put up a sign on it and everything, and that became one of the filming locations. Now the funny piece about this is there was and there still is a pizzeria in South Amboy. I miss it dearly. It was my favorite pizza of all time. It was owned by a family of a girl that I went to elementary and high school with, but really good. And the production company went to them and they said, hey, we would like to rent out your space as a filming location. And they actually declined it because they did not want to have to shut down. And it wasn't even going to be like they're going to be closed for very long, like a week or two, maybe. That would be it. And they're like, we don't want to disappoint our customers. So no, we'll respectfully
take the
decline
money.
Yeah, I know. They could use the day off. I've heard that the family, you know, the parents, and I think the husband is probably in his 90s now. The wife is probably in her 70s or 80s. They've been around doing this for a really long time, and they won't slow down. And they've had some health scares and stuff. But yeah, they've been working like 7 days a week, you know, almost every day of the year for 40 plus years or longer. It's just insane. But yeah, there was a lot of buzz in town when Coyote Ugly came to film.
But isn't it, it's fun. I think it is.
Yeah.
Fun. Unless you're one of the people, and I've been this person that they call all the time. Where do we find this?
Mm.
Or how can we get this for nothing? I've had that. I had to find a crane one day that was for nothing. a crane. You know how to find cranes? It's a lot of phone work. And then you find the crane and then they're not paying a dime because they can't afford anything. So,
right. Yeah.
So that was, but I think it's fun. I would encourage you to, if you have one in your town, seek them out because everybody wants to be a star at some point. You know that.
Exactly.
And here's a way for you to get a sense of what the business is like. And you go, you know what? Not all that glamorous. I don't think I really want to be a part of it. But
right.
Here we are.
So we're going to wrap up, but give us a quick preview of what we have next.
Next week, we're going to talk to John Krasinski. He's in a new Jack Ryan film, and he's with Sienna Miller. Talk to her, too, the director, and then another co-star in that. And I think they're looking at this as being more than just kind of a continuation of their TV series.
Right.
I think they're looking at a film franchise that could be another Mission Impossible. So we've got them. And then there's a new Dwight Eisenhower movie. I know that sounds like, oh, wow. And I believe I'm talking to somebody with that. And I think we've got Nate Bargatze on the line coming down.
Wow.
So there's a lot because we're starting to get into that period of time that there's a lot going on. And we'll be trying to get a vacation in here somewhere, too. So we'll see.
Yeah. Absolutely. So yeah, so I'm looking forward to hearing about Jack Ryan. You know, it's weird. I saw, of course, Hunt for Red October, Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger. I'm familiar with the early movies. I did see Some of All Fears. I don't think I saw the last movie that came out. I can't remember who was in that one. Was that Chris Pine was in that one?
I believe they passed this thing around quite a bit.
Yeah. And then the TV series, and it's one of those ones that it's in my list. Like I've been like, oh, I gotta get to Jack Ryan at some point. It's
now
in my like watch list.
Right?
And I know, but I doubt it will because Amazon kind of owns it. But
yeah.
But that's one where it's like, shoot, when I saw that the movie's coming out, like I need to get moving. I gotta watch the I have to watch the series because I know that this is kind of a standalone type of thing, but I feel like I do need to see the series too to make it
well.
Make sense.
And I think that if it does well, they will do another one because they went mm-hmm. to Dubai for this. Dubai was wonderful. They love Dubai. And I think they had some ideas. And since John is writing them,
yeah,
what the heck? You know, come right. on, that's another one. He's doing Quiet Place Part 3.
Oh boy.
And so that comes first before he can do another Jack Ryan. But you know how it goes. I mean, to be so busy, right?
Exactly. So, all right. Well, thank you all for listening. And we'll be back again next week with another episode of Streamed and Screened.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.